In case you didn't know it, there are over 700,000 people living in a place in the United States that are not represented in Congress. Now, that's more people than live in Wyoming or in Vermont, but in those states, they have congressional representation in both the House and the Senate. But not the 700,000 people living and working in Washington, D.C. Coming up, we'll talk about that with Senator Paul Strauss, who was first elected to the United States Senate back in 1996, but is not permitted to vote on anything. I caught up with Senator Strauss here in Iowa, where he's working to call attention to that fact and push for statehood for D.C., a 51st state to be called New Columbia. You've got to hear this story. And it's coming up next. Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of Orion HR. Did you know that small businesses and nonprofits who outsource their human resources tasks grow faster? That's because they get to focus on their business and not HR. Learn more about Orion by going to AurionHR.com.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Tarot International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com. And the Iowa Business Journals. News and information for small to mid-sized businesses. IowaBusinessJournals.com.
Senator, welcome, first of all, to Iowa. We're grateful that you're here and making your pitch for statehood for Washington, D.C. This is an amazing story that I don't think many Americans understand. Can you give us the background as to who is represented in D.C. and why they may not be?
Well, the District of Columbia is home to over 700,000 American citizens, as well as your national government. But most of the people who live in Washington, D.C., contrary to what folks may perceive, actually have very little to do with the national government. They work in businesses, they work in education, they work in healthcare, many other industries, and increasingly more and more contributing to a population boom and our robust economy, they're working in technology. And none of them have any voting representation in the United States Congress. We live under a form of taxation without representation, which, as our founding fathers told us, was tyranny, and it remains so today.
Let's talk a little bit about the business of Washington, D.C. You had a great remark where you said many people think of us as a theme park for Washington memorials. But in actuality, Washington, D.C., and I've been there many times, is the home of hospitals, of long-term health care, of food service, of technology. There are literally thousands of businesses within D.C. Would that be accurate?
Absolutely. And we continue to have one of the most growing and dynamic economies. We have an expanding population. Not only are we paying our fair share, but we're contributing to the economic growth of this country and to its prosperity. And our biggest problem is our own government, which is often in the way of our attempts at innovation. And so a lot of people think of statehood as a Democratic or a left-wing issue. But the truth is, a lot of what we want is the kind of self-determination that you generally associate more with a states' rights movement. We want the federal government out of our way. We don't want them micromanaging our affairs. We want to be able to grow and thrive as a community. And D.C. statehood is the most legal, appropriate, fairest, and constitutional way to achieve that.
What would the goodies be with result other than having the opportunity to vote and be represented not only in the House but also in the Senate? What would residents of the District of Columbia, or New Columbia as the proposed state name is, what would you get?
Well, we would get to participate equally in our democracy. We would get the kind of rights that every other citizen enjoys. We'd also get control over our own self-determination and local affairs, so that when we pass a law that's deemed in the best interest of our community, we would be able to have that law get implemented. Right now, every law that we pass has to be approved by Congress. And, well, we know how efficient they are, and we know what a great job they've been doing in terms of getting bills through. I mean, the government was shut down for weeks at the beginning of the year. So imagine if your state government was as dysfunctional as Congress. Well, that's kind of what we have because we don't have a true state government. We're at the mercy of Congress, and Congress has a reputation of looking out for Congress and not necessarily the people of D.C. So we want to change that.
When you were speaking, you mentioned the fact that you citizens in D.C. were not allowed to vote for the president until 1964. So you can vote for the president of the United States, but that was even hindered until 1964. It was an amazing story. Tell us what the impetus was to move to get and allow residents of D.C. to vote for the president.
Well, at the height of the Cold War, as we're fighting for the hearts and minds of countries around the world, we would, I think, legitimately, of course, criticize the lack of democracy in the Soviet Union. And one of the things that they began to hit back with was, if you lived in Moscow, for example, you could vote for the premier of the Soviet Union. I don't think it was such a great election. I understand there was just one name on the ballot, but that was one more name than anybody in D.C. got to vote for. And we were embarrassed as a country and passed the 23rd Amendment very quickly as constitutional amendments go, and it gave D.C. not exactly equal representation, but representation in the Electoral College, which from 1964 on we began to finally use. And what we need now is just sort of to finish that and give us representation in the rest of our government, because right now we're disenfranchised.
What are the steps that are necessary to allow D.C. to become New Columbia, the 51st state in the Union?
This is really simple. All you have to do is get a bill passed by the House of Representatives, a bill passed by the Senate, and while the president has a signature on it, sort of pro forma, statehood under their Constitution is the exclusive province of Congress. So that's really it. It is simple legislation. Now, I know in our polarized environment, no legislation seems simple. But from a structural standpoint, that's the simple procedure. We don't actually change a federal seat of government away from constitutional control, but we shrink it. So you would think all those folks who want to shrink the size of the government would be all for something like this, where we get the federal government out of the business of running a city that it has no business running and administers the purely federal part of Washington, D.C.
You gave a poignant story about stars on the flag, and you indicated that when someone goes off to battle and becomes one of the warriors who are fighting for the freedom of the individuals who live here in the United States, should they come back in a coffin? Tell us that story.
Well, those flag draped coffins don't have a star on the flag for the place that sent my constituents who make the ultimate sacrifice. And that's not just symbolic. Think about it. The symbol of our national unity at a time of great grief actually excludes us at a time when families have made the ultimate sacrifice, that last great measure of devotion, as Lincoln once said. It's just not right. And D.C. residents, it doesn't stop D.C. residents from serving, but it stops their service from being honored appropriately.
And a final question for you, Senator Paul Strauss, ladies and gentlemen. When we talk about the population base of Washington, D.C., 700,000 people. So this is likened to a couple of other states in the nation that have full and equal rights of representation. Would that be accurate?
Absolutely. We're bigger than some states. We're bigger than Wyoming. We're bigger than Vermont. We're roughly the same size as Alaska and Delaware. And with the rate our population is increasing, I could tell you that in a few years we're going to be passing them. And so the idea that there aren't enough people to be a state isn't true. We think in the United States, the way you get equal rights is to become one of the United States. And that's all the citizens of the capital of this country want. We want to be treated equally. We don't want special treatment, but we don't deserve to be treated worse. And so we're here to appeal to the sense of fundamental fairness that Iowa is famous for, because they can make their case in a way that we can't.
I lied. I said final question, but I have one more pickup, if I might. And thank you for your time. What are the pushbacks? If it is about representation and if it is about the opportunity to have a congressional delegation and if it's about allowing citizens in Washington, D.C. to have a voice in the national discord, what are the pushbacks?
The pushback comes from a few folks who think that if D.C. were able to have voting representation, the way some D.C. resident representatives may vote may be not the way other people like. Well, they're pretty blatant about it. One of the biggest opponents to D.C. statehood is Steve King on here in Iowa, and he says that he just disagrees with some of the ways we'd likely cast votes. And so it's literally asking for an unfair advantage from one side of an argument to another. And that's just not the way democracy is supposed to work. It's supposed to be a competition of the best ideas. And silencing voices doesn't make our democracy better. You know, if you were to kick the violins out of the orchestra, you wouldn't be punishing the string section. You'd be diminishing the quality of the music overall. And we're doing that to our own democracy. And we're doing it at a time when we really need the best ideas, when we really need all of us to step up and be heard and to participate. And that's not good for Washington. It's not good for the United States. And frankly, it's not good for the world right now.
Once again, that was Senator Paul Strauss, who is in Iowa pushing us to talk to elected officials in Congress and those who are running for president to urge them to vote for D.C. statehood. When you think of it, it's stunning that residents of Washington, D.C. have been fighting for equal rights and voting representation in Congress for over 200 years. Today, 86% of D.C. voters approved a referendum in support of D.C. statehood. Want to learn more? We've got a link to that website on our radio blog. Stay with us. More to come on this edition of the Business News Hour.